and off you go.
No pressure. Great.
Who you? Just tell me who you are, what you are. Just, you know, so just you don't even know full names. Just person, or whatever it is. Just do what you're doing. I set it off earlier. It's about air quality. That was random. I didn't think
it was. Yeah. I don't know how we even got onto that. Well, I'm Kirsten, and I'm a photographer.
And I'm Laura. A digital marketing and brand coach.
And I'm Matt. And my profession is I'm a dental technician. But I'm a company director of a few different businesses.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Well, it's nice to have never met you before.
Yeah.
It makes this whole experiment a bit more fun, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Have you both lived in Sheffield like your whole lives, or did you move here?
I moved to Sheffield in 2007 for university.
And never left.
Yes. Well, I did a couple of dips in and out down to the city.
Yeah.
And came back screaming, "Save me!" Yes. But no, I will not be moving anymore.
It grows on you. What about you?
I'm from Sheffield, born in Sheffield. Moved to London for 6 years. Spent 6 years in London at Guy's Hospital. And then kind of gradually migrated north, went to Cambridge, and then came back up to Sheffield. I have discovered that Sheffield probably retains more students than anywhere else, and it's weird. My wife is from Essex, and she came to Sheffield, went back to Essex after the university, and then after a year came back up.
Interesting thing I found out this week actually was that it is correct that Sheffield retains more students than any other university.
Yes.
However, yes. Once they are all qualified, and if they then go into professional spheres, i.e. lawyers, dentists, doctors, they also have one of the highest losses to cities of their professional leaders.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. So although we're an up-and-coming, creative, young kind of industry city, when you get to the early 30s to late
30s... You've had some experience.
We're then losing them.
Oh, do you think it's about pay or
one? That's one of the largest things.
Yeah, because it's such. I mean, it's grown on me. I mean, it took a while for it to feel like home because I didn't want to move because I was quite young when we were dragged from Cape Town, kicking and screaming. So I came for university, we moved with my family. I was almost 19, so it took a long time for it to work its magic on me, but it did. Such a great city, and it does feel like home, doesn't it?
So one of the things I think that they were saying that it's lacking is the pay and further opportunities for businesses.
Yeah.
So, you know, the more professional development, that kind of thing. So I know there's lots of work to be doing at the moment about keeping and retaining and investing to keep professionals and then grow the industry in Sheffield.
Yeah.
It's interesting because, you know, being from Sheffield as well, there's a certain draw, but there's also there's also a bit of an itchy thing to think, there's a bigger world out there as well.
Yeah.
So we've talked, myself and my wife, we've got three kids, and saying, you know, Sheffield is wonderful, we love it, and I think, we'd always retain a bit of it here, whether that's even if we went off travelling somewhere, we'd always probably come back at some point or retain a house here so that we can come back.
Yeah.
But it's so cold.
I know. January, February, March, I pop vitamin D it's candy, and it still doesn't quite work. I try to plan a holiday now. We just went to Muscat for a few weeks in March, and it just helped because. Yeah. After Christmas, it's just like nosedive.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. We every year we've got Easter time, we've gone away for a couple of weeks. Mm. Got family in California, so it's like a nice break.
Yeah.
And we've gone away sometimes. We've gone away in January and Easter.
Yeah.
This year we went away in January, and it helped a lot. But still thinking, it's a bit cold.
Yeah, I'm going away in a couple of weeks. I'm very much I need some sunshine.
Yeah. It's real. I didn't understand when I first moved here, like how people expected holidays to be like a standard And after a few years, I was like,
it's needed for well-being.
I suppose that links in with the pay. You know, if you can't have a quality of life in Sheffield where you can afford a holiday, even though it would seem a luxury, it must either go somewhere that's a bit warm. But I mean, even the light is different. Whenever I go back home, I kind of have to take 3 days to get used to the brightness. I mean, quality of light is still, it's different.
Just be thankful that we're this side of the Peak District and we're not getting rained on daily Manchester. So we've at least got that.
I know, right. It's just bonkers, isn't it? We definitely need the sun.
Because you're from Cape Town.
I grew up there. Yeah.
Did you ever get back to South Africa?
So I've been, last time I went was 2017. I'd gone to Zambia and I thought, well, I'm in Zambia. So I'd spent 2 months there photographing for a charity, which was amazing. And then on my way back, I kind of just took a detour. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure when, it's quite expensive to go back.
Really?
The flights, I mean, a flight alone, it's maybe £700-800, and then you've got obviously everything else.
Is that quite a recent thing? Because I always thought it was kind of a place, South Africa was always kind of a place to buy cheap properties and live there.
I think the pound gets you a fair way there, but the cost of living over there has shot up. I've noticed it from when I go over, you know, when you do the calculations with food and stuff, it's not always cheap to buy food from the supermarket. And when you've got pounds, it's go do that and go out for dinner. But I do wonder how, like my aunt and uncle separated many years ago. My aunt was on her own in the family home, and now my cousin and her family have moved in because they can't. If my aunt had sold the house and tried to get something smaller, she wouldn't have had enough money, even though they had this massive 4-bed house. So
the property is cheap, but maybe living is not.
It's complex, isn't it? It's not always easy over there. One of the reasons my parents moved us over is just,
that's one of the reasons why lots of people stay in Sheffield. It's certainly one of the reasons why I didn't go back home. I can't afford property at home. Milton Keynes, just outside of London,
which is commute about,
not a chance. There was no way I could buy a property, whereas I've got a lovely little 2-bed with a garden, you know everything here, which I wouldn't be able to afford. So that's why people
move
north.
Well, I do miss Cape Town. I miss the lifestyle because of the sun. Everybody's out more and everybody mingles more. Whereas over here, it feels like people do hibernate in winter.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You see your family and maybe a small selection of key friends, and then summer comes and it's like, oh my goodness.
Everyone's
out. In contrast, I've got family in Iceland.
Oh.
Wow.
And they properly hibernate in winter, and they basically have, in their street of houses, they will take it in turns to have little house parties. So all they have to do is go, okay, tonight we're going to that neighbour's, and then we're going to that neighbour's. They don't actually go very far.
No.
They just socialise within their street for about,
that's amazing.
Know, 4
we need
months.
To do more of that, because that doesn't happen. I think we're too British and we don't really talk to our neighbours necessarily.
Yeah, we started doing that actually this year. We moved to Wirlo. We moved it from Millhouses to Wirlo. And we, on our little street, it's a little cul-de-sac, there's like one, two, three, five houses on our little street. So we have a Christmas drinks. Someone else said, we'll do something in the new year, so we have a new year little thing. So we do that. I think it's really important.
You need to do more of that then. You need to spread that kind of feel, because in winter you need it, don't you?
You do. It's so, it can be quite dark.
I mean, the upside is I've gotten used to a winter Christmas and all the sparkly lights and stuff, because we used to have a braai barbecue at Christmas, and you know,
which is your preferred?
For ages I would have said summer Christmas. I've adapted. I've learned that winter Christmas is great.
So
too.
I think for me, Christmas is that. Well, I've got a birthday in there as well, but it's the thing that picks up the winter.
Yes. Yeah, that's
so
it.
So for you guys, what's the thing?
In winter, winter's June, July.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like we needed.
Does it not get quite as?
No, because you don't have the difference in light, because it's the darkness that gets me most.
Yeah.
And so I think it, off the top of my head, I think like in winter it's a 6 p.m. kind of sunset.
As opposed to like 3:30 here.
Yeah, and summer is like 8 p.m.
Okay.
So
it doesn't vary so much.
No, and it's Cape Town is known as the Cape of Storms. Mm-hmm. So in winter you can get these really awesome storms, which is pretty cool. And you do feel the cold because you have single glazing, you have tiled floors, all geared up for the summer. So, and of course you get used to a certain level. So when it dips below like 19 degrees, you're like, oh my goodness, it's freezing. I soon adapted. Here now it's like, 10 degrees, double digits.
Shirts on.
Yeah.
Shorts on.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just a different
so
lifestyle.
You don't need the pickup.
No, you don't. Mm. I mean, I do remember like having to get up for school, and I had a little heater in my room that probably cost the earth to run, but I didn't care. You know, just put it on and get dressed in front of the heater because it was so cold. But it didn't last long enough to let it get you down, so like it does here. But I think it's the light.
Can I ask you about your accent? Because you've got almost Scottish.
I know. Well, my parents are from Zimbabwe, so they have a very gentle accent.
Yeah.
And in Cape Town, I think the accent isn't as strong.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever had a really strong accent. Yeah. And then I moved over here, and then first job was at Meadowhall.
Yeah.
And on customer services, I think I'm just a sympathetic listener, so I've just picked it up. So if I say yogurt or aubergine or get off, those are like the few words so I think it's just a bit of a
When I lived in London, I had a few friends, quite a few of them from Johannesburg.
Oh,
and really strong.
Very strong,
yeah,
eh?
Very,
yeah. It can pick you off the cons, perhaps, and it can put a bit of an accent on, but it's not very good. Yeah. Suddenly realise you're being recorded. I'm not very good with accents, probably a bit stronger.
It was very much, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know if you picked it up being outsiders from Sheffield. Mm. I think Sheffield's got its own little microcosms of accents.
Yeah, I love
some
it.
Are really, really strong. Mm. Yeah. Some are not so.
When I moved here, I remember, I mean, I flex
what
now.
Saying.
Yeah, honestly, I remember as a fresher getting on the tram and asking to go to Malin Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
And the tram conductor just laughed at me and was like, oh, no, hang on. What did I? I must have said Marlin Bridge.
Marlin,
and done in my southern kind of London accent. And they laughed at me and was like, no, it's Malin Bridge.
Yeah.
I was like, why? I don't understand. You know, things like that. Yeah, my course mates used to laugh at me.
Yeah.
And I still think I sound southern up here, and yet I go home, and everyone's like, "Oh, you're so northern."
Yeah. I have the same thing. You're kind of caught in the middle. You're not one or the other.
Yeah.
And yeah, I find that very much. Like when I first moved here, I didn't understand a word anyone said. I had to ask pardon, sorry. By the fourth time, you just go, "I'll just nod my head and smile."
Yeah, okay.
And then when you get in a group, like you kind of start to understand individuals. You're like, "Great!" And then you get in a group of people. And then you find yourself wondering because you haven't been able to follow the conversation at all. And now I look back and go, how did I not understand people?
No.
I mean, for ages, I thought Handsworth was Answorth until I saw a sign.
Mm.
I went, oh, okay.
Yeah, we dropped the H.
Drop the H.
We'd never use that as a
I love, love accents.
The main thing I noticed, I think, moving here was the discussions on public transport. People will talk to you on a bus or a train or the tram, and you know, someone you've never met before will just start a conversation with you, and heaven forbid that would happen at home. No one says a word. You know, I remember someone trying to talk to me in the street in the town centre, and I was like, why are you talking to me? What do you want? And they were just being nice, and my friend's like, oh, you're so southern. But no, it is, they do not, you know. On the tube, eyes down.
Yeah.
Do not, no eye contact. No talking, not even a, well, the weather's rubbish today kind of conversation. So that is a...
It's interesting to hear the stories of people, like, who've had similar, because it feels like such a culture shock moving from South Africa to here. You know, even though we supposedly speak the same language and stuff, it's such a culture shock. But even in the same country...
100 miles up the road.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, literally 100 miles up the M1. And it's still... It's very,
very
different.
Culture,
very different.
It is very different. And I think it's, and again, so going back to the little pockets of Sheffield, I think it's, our sons go to that's Ecclesall Infant School. And youngest son's teachers from Essex. The next is from Harwich, which is the next sort of big town from where my wife lives. She was from Frinton-on-Sea. It's a beautiful, unspoiled, very Middle English, you know, place. Golf club, cricket club, all that kind of stuff, tennis club. So speak very, is it Estuary language, English. And I said, I've noticed my son's really speak Southern, you know, everything's Bath, Parth, Grass. And she said, you know what, there's hardly any children in the class that have Sheffield accents.
Right.
Probably because of the area we live in. We have lots of people that come to university and become teachers, they're lawyers, whatever, but they've come from elsewhere.
Yeah.
So very few of our kids in our class, of the 30 children, have Sheffield accents.
Oh my goodness.
Hardly any of them. And most of the teachers are from different areas as well.
Yeah. So, well, I'm a Bath
kind of I used to be.
Have you changed?
Oh, yeah. Really? People used to take the mick out of me if I said Parth and Bath. Oh. I'm a Parth and Bath and Grass now.
Yeah, oh wow.
I'm a Parth Grass car, and I'm damned if I'll be changing.
No, I think well, it's been 12 years of being here, and the subtleties I think have picked up.
Yeah. Oh, you see, I've been here since 2001, so we'll be 18 years at the end of this year. So it's gonna, and I have changed. When I go back home, people are like, "Yeah, you definitely sound Pommy, as they call the Brits.
Pommy. Poms,
Pom accent." So, and when I listen to myself, I'm like, "Oh yeah." But my brother and my parents, lovely.
I would have said, "You're Scottish." in a really nice, like probably Edinburgh, come to England and.
I got the either South African or Australian when you introduce yourself.
Never had Scottish before. Yeah. I've normally had, you're just posh from down south, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
No, I'm not posh at
down
all.
South, yeah.
Down south, yeah.
Yeah. In California, we visit quite often, and they always think we're Australian. Always. And it's really odd.
I wonder what they'd make of your accent compared to mine.
Well, my wife.
Do they just think Sheffield people from Australia?
I think my wife as well been, and hers is not like a. There are Essex accents as well, which are really like really whiny, but hers is very much not. Her mum speaks the Queen's English.
I think Americans. It's such a big country.
Yeah.
And not all of them are as they travel within the country, and not a lot of them maybe travel outside the country. Maybe they don't have as much.
Yeah.
Kind of experience of.
I think you're right. Yeah. Most of my cousins have never left. Yeah. Never left California. Not
yeah.
I mean,
they don't need to.
Some clients in California.
Yeah.
In Ventura.
All right. Yeah.
Which is a beautiful bit of it.
Yes.
But I Skype them, and I also do a lot of writing for them.
Yeah.
And when I write, I have to put on Americanisms to be able to write and things, and sometimes they speak to me and they'll use a particular phrase or turn and I don't understand at all. It's interesting.
I'm gonna
you have to wrap it up.
This is a great way. The biggest problem with this exercise is stopping it. It just goes on. You know how long you've been talking?
About 15
minutes.
No,
well, halfway between the two, 19 minutes. Here you go. I've just had a picture sent through.
Where's
that?
Cape Town.
That looks stunning.
Cool. You know where it is, don't you?
Yeah, it's from Table View side, looking over at Table Mountain.
Yeah,
it's in northern Robin suburbs. Island. Oh, Robin Island. Okay. Yeah, I've never been to Robin Island.
Haven't you?
No, you're not often a tourist in your own city.
So who sent that to you?
This is my sister. It's just literally just sent this.
Seriously? Is she there?
She'll be leaving now.
Yeah.
This is from yesterday.
Coincidental.
So, I'd love to go. Now this
Table Mountain.
That looks stunning. Let's go. Let's all go.
It's so iconic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Table Mountain. We've been up Table Mountain.
Yeah.
Looks great with Yes, I've done that.
Yeah,
with the tablecloth over it. If you ever get to go to Cape Town, you should.
With the tablecloth?
When it gets the cloud over it.
Oh,
it's like a tablecloth.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's a good finish.
Absolutely.
Right, I'm going to stop it there.